Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Matthew chapter 19. I'll be reading Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 26. And behold, a man came up to him, saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." This is the word of God.
Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to our boys and girls from the both brigades. We especially want to extend AMKPC's warm welcome to our new Sec 1s who have joined the CCA this year. My name is Wen Chong, and I'm the chaplain of the Boys Brigade 27 Singapore Company. Currently, the Sec 1s are having their camp, and their camp is titled #. This symbol is something youths use this day and they are very familiar with. A #, is a way to mark your message as belonging to a topic or theme. So for example, hashtags like #happy means, you know, they are happy lah. Or sometimes it's in abbreviations like #OOTD. Do you know what's that? I think GB may know better than the BB lah. Okay, it's outfit of the day. And then there's #love, which is actually one of the most popular hashtags in the world. But these are just some examples of what a #, is. So the camp began with #star as Reverend Jackson introduced the star of the Bible, the star of Christianity, and as we studied the gospel to see how the wise men and shepherds followed a star to find this superstar who will become so famous that until today, people are still talking about this star, and his name is Jesus. In part two, which is #cross, we explore the themes of betrayal and broken trust, and how the world that we live in today is in such devastation. Pastor Yiling shared with us, shared the Sec 1s, how terrible it must have been to be betrayed by a friend. The kids learned that even Jesus experienced this betrayal himself when one of his disciples chose to betray him for 30 silver coins. And this crossing, which means betrayal, of Jesus eventually led Jesus to the cross where he died for the very people who betrayed him. And though Judas betrayed Jesus, Jesus still chose to go onto the cross and lay down his life for a friend. This morning, the icon which can be found at the back of the Recruits Camp t-shirt, hashtag, is the thumbs up icon. At a glance, this is a common symbol we find at the bottom of any online post, and it's the option to like a post. Today, in the third segment of the campus hashtag program, I'd be sharing with us hashtag a good life. Before I begin, allow me to open us with a word of prayer. Dear God, speak to us, O Lord, and cause our hearts to be open to the message we will hear. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a TV series that I love on Netflix, and it is titled The Good Place. And I will try to be careful, because actually all I'm saying is just one episode only, to not spoil the TV series for you, in case you want to watch it. In the show, a lady by the name of Eleanor Shellstrop opens her eyes to find herself in the good place. In her orientation around the good place, she was told that she had done so much good in her life that it qualified her in the afterlife to this good place. The TV show presents this good place, or what we commonly understand as heaven, as a place that has endless supply of frozen yogurt. And you are in the good company of others, all well-deserving folk who have earned their spot here in the good place because of their good deeds. And some of them in the good place were so rich that they were able to donate to wonderful charitable causes, and that too earned their place in the good place. So in this show, there's this perfect algorithm and system that will calculate all your thoughts, all your actions on earth, and whether if you'll be on a good course or for a bad course, with good intention or with ill intention. The system will be able to calculate your total score to determine if you are good or bad. Okay, I'll stop here in case I spoil the show. But perhaps I want us to consider if the algorithm were to be in play today to calculate our lives. Do you think the system will detect that you led a good life or a bad life? Do you think you will enter the good place? Or would you find yourself, when you open your eyes, realizing that you're in the company of the bad place because of the life that you have led on earth that is not worthy to be called good? So what is a good life? A good life can be referred to as someone who led a morally good life, someone who obeys all the rules, comply with law and order, does not cheat, he pays his dues, and ensure that he only does what is right. This person is a law-abiding citizen. Okay, that's one possibility of what a good life means. But good life can also mean that this person is leading a life that is purposeful, someone who does good, donates to charity, volunteers to the needy, is concerned and devote his entire life or her entire life in doing good. Usually, we also refer to this person as good because we believe that he or she has led a good life. And yet, there's a third possibility of what hashtag a good life can mean, and it's perhaps the one that we are more familiar with. A good life can refer to someone who is leading a successful life, one who is comfortable with his life or her life. This person's Instagram may be filled with extravagant photos of good food and good living. He or she might be retired because there's no more need to amass any more wealth, and we will usually say that this person is living the life, enjoying the pleasures this life has to offer. And I believe many of us here will consider this as a good life. Similarly, the character that we're going to study today is also one who is regarded by many as having a good life. His name? We don't know. Most subheaders in the Bible will just tell us that he's a rich young man. Rhyme. Maybe that's his short form, his name. Not so much is known about him. But the little that we do know is that he led a good life in every sense. From his opening question to Jesus, you can already tell that this guy is what society deemed as a good man. He asks, "What good deed must I do to inherit eternal life?" He is interested in doing good in this world. This tells us that he is leading the second kind of good life, the purposeful kind. And when Jesus asks him to keep the commandments, he says that all this I have kept, Jesus. And this tells us that he is the first category of good, morally good. And perhaps we can also infer that because he had so much riches, he perhaps is enjoying the riches and goodness of life. He was leading a comfortable life, the third category as well. So having led such a good life, surely this man did qualify to enter the good place, right? But perhaps, like our Instagram or our public social media life, what is portrayed on the outside is sometimes a far cry of what is really happening on the inside. And so was it with this rich young man. On the outside, the man seemed like he was good enough. In fact, in his time, material wealth and riches were seen as a blessing from God, meaning that this man must have been living a good life in God's eyes. Thus, he had so much wealth. But was he really good enough? It was interesting that when the young man asked Jesus what he ought to do, Jesus pointed him to the law in the Old Testament. In fact, Jesus highlighted the commandments that involve our relations to one another. So if you were to look at the Ten Commandments, the first four, we usually say, has got to do with our relationship with God. You shall worship the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me, you shall keep the Sabbath. But the rest are about how we relate to one another as human beings. In this order, Jesus pointed the man to the commandments. Commandment 6, 7, 8, 9, and then he goes back to the fifth commandment, followed by wrapping up what he says with Leviticus 19, saying, "Love your neighbor as yourself." So why did Jesus bring out the law? What was his intention in listing out the commandments relating to our fellow men? This was because Jesus was about to test him and to see if he indeed were good enough. So by listing down the commandments, Jesus was helping this man revise before his upcoming tests and whether or not he really loved his neighbor as himself. Jesus listed the law to also show him that no one can actually really keep the commandments in the Old Testament law. In my own paraphrasing, but you can see the actual verses here, we can almost hear Jesus say, if you want to get a perfect score, go, sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And then come, follow me. But the man was sorrowful and walked away because he had great possessions. It is important to stand still in this moment right now where the world of this man starts to crumble all around him. It's sometimes important for us to pause and immerse ourselves in the character to understand or even to empathize with him to discover the intricacies of the Bible. So, let's be at this moment. So after Jesus revised with the man about the Old Testament law, the man would realize a few things. And his failure to sell his possessions, man, number one, he failed because he does not love his neighbor as himself. In fact, it's likely that he loved himself more than his neighbor. He was more concerned about preserving his wealth and actually meeting the felt needs of the poor and the needy. And while he may not actually have murdered, stolen, committed adultery, or lied, he did not love his neighbor as himself, as per Leviticus chapter 19. His inability to put the needs of others before himself revealed that while he may have thought that he loved his neighbor, The truth was, he didn't. Number two, he failed at commandment number 10. It must have bothered the man a lot, right? When Jesus intentionally skipped commandments 10, which is, thou shalt not covet. And while in the traditional sense, this commandment meant that we do not seek to covet another person's property or money, this man probably realized that he was coveting God's possessions that could be used to the poor. Any pious or religious person will know that all that we have is from God. Not just 10% of our finances, but all 100%. So, if God is the rightful owner of this money and this wealth, we are his stewards. And the man realizes that he has been coveting the treasures as a steward that was entrusted to him. So the good man, who thought that he had led a good life, now realizes that he is not good enough. In fact, I suspect that this rich young person has already been dissatisfied for a while now. If we look at the language that Matthew used in this short discourse with Jesus, he opens with the rich man asking what he needs to do to inherit eternal life. If he was certain about his goodness, he wouldn't be clueless about what to do. And when Jesus points him to the Old Testament law, the man continues to ask, Lord, what do I still lack? Can you sense his dissatisfaction? Can you see that this man who tried to be good in all his life realizes that something is missing in his life? And deep down, the man knew that he was not good enough. And when he couldn't sell all his possessions to follow Jesus, the man was sorrowful because he simply is not good enough to enter eternity with God. This charity test of selling and giving to the poor by Jesus showed him how much he did not love his neighbor as himself, and how he was coveting from God's wealth. And perhaps, thirdly, also highlighting he has also made an idol of the wealth and possessions, resulting in him violating the first two commandments. Thou shalt not worship other gods, thou shalt love the Lord your God, and thou shalt not put any idols before me. This man once thought that he led a good life. He now realizes that he's failed miserably because Jesus has shown him that he is not good enough. How about us today? What would you do if Jesus were to ask you to sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and just follow Jesus now? What would have been your response today? Maybe for some of you, and especially the students here, it will mean much but to consider the offer Jesus made to the rich young man. It's more than just renouncing the earthly wealth. But look at the offer that Jesus gave. There is a second part, which includes following Jesus from this point onwards, meaning that you would have to leave your life, the life that you once knew, people you love, and the comfort, and just drop everything and follow Jesus. And bear in mind, this is just somebody that you just met. What would then your response be to Jesus? The truth is, like the rich young man, we are all not good enough to enter God's good place. We may try as hard as we can, to lead a moral life, but we will never succeed. And we may try, perhaps, to give back to society, do lots of charity, but we'll soon wear out and find ourselves mostly concerned about ourselves. And we may try, and I think this is quite resonates with many Singaporeans, find comfort in the riches of our wealth, but even that will soon prove to be meaningless and futile. We will never be good enough. And for some of us, and I think this is especially true for young people, is that you try to live for the expectation of others. It could be your parents. It could be what others think of you. It can be even the goals that you set for yourself to achieve, thinking that if you were to achieve, you will be good enough. And for those of you who try to find your purpose in meaning and meaning in living for the expectation of your parents, and while this may have driven you, perhaps in your academic life, to do quite well, like the rich young man, you realize that there is something still lacking. Life cannot be just about pleasing my parents, right? Or even other people's expectations. Or for those of you who deem that the good life is when everyone likes you and when you become popular in a clique or in a group, you will soon find your life crumbling around like the rich young man when you find that even after becoming popular and surrounded by so many people, you still feel lonely. And what you thought would make you happy and satisfied is still void and empty. And lastly, perhaps there's this group of people who says, who cares about what others says? I will just live for myself. I will do whatever I please, whatever I want. This is the best way to get a good life. But when you find yourself not meeting your goals, underachieving, or not meeting your own expectation, you soon find yourself depressed by your failure and find that you are perhaps like the rest of the human race, that actually you are still not good enough. So what then? What can we do to be saved? How then can we ever be good enough? So far, we have covered what are some of the definitions of a good life and how it possibly means that you either led a moral life, one that is meaningful, or even a successful one. And we've also covered that these show us that no one person can actually be good enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. In fact, sometimes the good things in our lives can also become a hindrance for us to follow Jesus. So how will we be able to enter the good place? Who then can be saved? Jesus says, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I'd like to turn our attention to the screen and we'll be watching a short video.
Next. File, please. Some lying, some stealing, and some acts of kindness here and there.
I tried to live a good life.
Well, let's see how good. This way. Next. File, please.
Okay, I admit it. I did a lot of bad things.
Yes, I see.
But I've done good things too, you know, to offset the bad things. Like one time I cheated on a test, but then I cleaned up trash in the park.
Mm-hmm.
That should balance out, right?
Let's find out. This way.
That should have balanced out, right? It should have balanced out.
Next. File, please. Impressive.
Oh, yeah. I devoted my entire life to make this world a better place. I dug wells in Africa. I donated blood every month. And I ran an orphanage in India. I mean, I just wish I could have done more.
Mm-hmm. And is this your subscription?
I only read the articles. I only read the articles!
Next.
My mom goes to church.
Was baptized as a baby?
Take American Express, right?
Next. File, please. Whoa. Somebody's been busy. Well, let's get this over with. Sorry, I didn't know he was with you. Okay, step on the scale. Not you. Him.
Hey, wait a minute. That is totally not fair.
That's why it's called grace. Next.
I remember when I was still new to the Christian faith, I imagined something similar of what we just watched, of how all will be in this queue before God on Judgment Day. That all of us will be queuing in according to our merits, and we'll be put according to our good deeds. And I remember, and I asked Elder Soking about this, I remember standing all the way at the back, waving to Elder Soking in the front, because thinking, wow, she's so nice and tender and gentle, surely she must be all the way in front and I'm all the way at the back. And you see, I think at some point or another, we all believe in a score system and think that only if you are good enough can you enter heaven. Not even the men who dug wells in Africa and started orphanages in India could enter. By our own human effort, we'll never be good enough. The only way that we can enter the good place is if Jesus stood on the good old meter for us, like the video, and brings us in. Because Jesus is the only one who is good enough. Jesus is the one and only perfect person who can stand before our Heavenly Father and says, I'm good enough. The Bible says this about Jesus in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that he says, for our sake, he who is Jesus made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, it says, for it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, which is Jesus, holy, innocent, unstained, separate from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Jesus is the only one who will be good enough to enter heaven. And just as he gave the Old Testament law to the rich young man to keep, Jesus is the only person who can keep all 10 commandments. And just as he told the rich young man to go sell your riches away and give to the poor, Jesus gave up his heavenly riches as the Son of God and to give his life for us so that all of us, our poor souls, can join him in heaven. And just as Jesus was interested in helping this young man find his way to heaven by way of extending a relationship to the man, he is calling each one of us today to follow him. There is no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. By our human way, it is impossible. But in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, can we have a good life. In closing, I'd like to extend the invitation that Jesus gave to the rich young man to all of us today. For some of you here, God might be really challenging you to give up the good things you have in this life. Because the life that he wants to give you is infinitely much better. Perhaps the good things in your life has caused you to be complacent, self-sufficient, or even idolizing of your wealth and comfort over your obedience and faithfulness to Jesus. And if this is you, may we learn from the rich young man and not turn down Jesus' wonderful invitation to be free from this possessive grip of our own possessions. Go, sell, give, come and follow Jesus. And for those of you who are new to Christianity, or perhaps have heard about Jesus for a while now, maybe it was in your weekly chapel, or even your morning devotions, but you personally have not quite made that decision to follow Jesus, Jesus is inviting you to come, follow him, because every other human way is never going to be good enough. But Jesus' way, the way to the Father, is your best shot in enjoying the good life with God forever in this good place. Let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. It is not an easy message. Reveal to us the good things in our lives that we have made into an idol, things that might be hindering us from inheriting eternal life. Move our hearts to see that we can never be good enough, but also to see that Jesus is our best way of having a good life. Not because we are good, but because of the goodness of Jesus. I pray for the people who are thinking of following you, Lord. May your Spirit move in their hearts to choose Jesus, the perfect Son of God, who loves them and now calls them to follow you. And so, if you are here today, and now I'm speaking to you as a congregation, if you decide to follow Jesus, please pray this simple prayer after me. Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your good Son Jesus to save me. Sorry that I am not good, and I will never be good enough. Please save me so that I have eternal life with you in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening for all the boys and girls. I just want to let you know that if you had prayed that prayer just now, it means that you want to follow Jesus. Okay? It's important if this is you, that you can speak to your befrienders or even a fellow officer about the decision that you've made. Maybe there are some concerns, maybe there are still some things in your life that you might not be able to let go, but just I encourage you to talk to your officers, talk to your teachers about this, okay?
Church, let us stand as we respond to the Lord with this song. Everything. begin from the top.